The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I think somebody accidentally jumped into one of the interview slots that was signed up for. So if the person who missed, I think Liz, if you want to meet at noon, we can do that, yeah. Anyway, it's good to sit with you. So practicing, doing Dharma practice for one's own benefit is complicated. But doing it for the benefit of all beings, including oneself, much simpler. It sounds bolder and maybe more complicated, but I want to suggest that it's actually simpler to practice on behalf of all beings, to practice with the intention of relieving the suffering of everyone we touch. And this is, of course, the heart of the Bodhisattva vow, the vow that's taken by some people to dedicate the energy of one's practice for all beings. And it was Shantideva, I don't know where this is said, but I heard a teacher quote Shantideva, who said something like, he was talking to his own mind, and he said something like, mind, please understand you do not belong to me, you know. And I was actually, like, there was something about that I just, like, actually doubled over crying and hearing that. And he may have meant many things, but the way I heard it was, the mind is fully in service to the welfare of all beings. And I was just practicing at the Insight Meditation Society in Massachusetts, and one of the things that the guiding teacher there, Joseph Goldstein, has said is that he's done primarily Theravada and Insight practice, but has practiced quite significantly, deeply in the Tibetan lineage. And he said that he's said before that one of the main kind of influences, the way that those years in Tibetan practice made their way into the mission of the Insight Meditation Society, is in the form of the explicitness of compassion as the mission. Now, sometimes the Bodhisattva vow can sound grand or even grandiose. So this again is Shantideva. May any spiritual energy be dedicated to dispelling the misery of living beings without exception. As long as diseases afflict living beings, may I be the doctor, the medicine, and the nurse who restores them to health. May I fall as rain to increase the harvest that must feed living beings. And in ages of famine, may I myself serve as food and drink. May I be an unending treasury for those desperate and forlorn. My body, every possession, and all goodness, past, present, and future, without remorse, I dedicate to the well-being of the world. Now, the grandness of that vision, I think if we take it on, in some ways feels like crippling weight of the world, the vastness of suffering, the seeming endlessness of racism and oppression, of war and poverty. But my suggestion today is that that maybe as we take on a kind of, we connect with the intention to practice for the well-being of others, in a certain sense, practice can get easier. Yeah. It can get simpler. When we're practicing for ourselves, it's very hard not to turn ourselves into this kind of weird self-improvement project, you know. And sometimes I'll say it very explicitly, like, you are not a self-improvement project. That is actually beginning with that is a recapitulation of the problem, to take oneself in that way. But it's hard to fight that tendency. And we see this, I think, in a lot of clarity, sometimes on retreat, that when we're sort of driven to practice for our own benefit, we tend to get very evaluative of how things are going. We tend, the mind gets tight about our progress. We get identified with our mind states. You know, it's possible to practice where in virtually every moment we ask ourselves, how am I doing? You know, after each breath, am I more concentrated? Yeah. And our idealism gets turns into this whole, like, the melodrama of the self. And we can get very, the mind can get very tight and narrow. But there's something about that intention to be of benefit for all beings, to not cause harm, including to oneself. Just the vastness of that intention somehow can help us cut through some of the drama of self-improvement, some of the ways we get pulled into the kind of constricted narratives of how am I doing? And so there's a kind of realization that we're not trying to turn ourselves into like this work of art, but instead to make our heart more useful. And there's a kind of dawning poignancy of that. And even though the task is kind of endless. It's not, it doesn't confine us. At some point in practice, we don't want any more for ourselves. At some point in practice, we're happy enough, actually. And it's hard to source our motivation from the wish to be happier ourselves. And so naturally the mind turns to others. Yeah. May I be of benefit. So let's just sit for a moment.